Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. Have you ever struggled from fitting in? I know I have, particularly at school. I found it difficult to find out who I was on that journey of self-discovery. I started to see a therapist, and not only did I go on a journey of self-awareness and understanding, I became more resilient, my self-worth grew, and my mental health changed for the better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try, because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/headstrong. That's betterhelp.com/headstrong. Hello, and welcome to Headstrong. My name is Louis Strong, and I host this podcast. Headstrong is a podcast where I sit down with a number of individuals in the public eye and talk to them about their lives and their careers, but notably, I want to talk to them about their vulnerabilities to understand what the word headstrong means to them. On today's episode is Tara Norris, a professional cricketer who is taking the cricket world by storm. We had a chat about the Ashes, her predictions, as well as her experiences with travelling and what that feels like leaving your family and friends at home. So I really hope you enjoy this episode of Headstrong.
Tara, thank you so much for joining me on Headstrong. How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good, thank you. No, it's great to have you on. And it's lovely to... What I really like is talking to more women in the game, in the cricket game, because, you know, the way that the sport is growing in terms of how much more opportunity there is around the world in terms of franchise cricket, it's so exciting for you. And we were just chatting that you've just come back from training. So what does kind of like a typical day look like for you now, you know, with the build up to the summer and, you know, obviously with games kind of cracking on now?
Yeah, I guess right now, yeah, we're 3 rounds into our 50-over comp. So we've got training, like cricket skills, 3 times a week. So we've got a game tomorrow. So today's kind of just top-ups, getting what you need done so you're ready for tomorrow. A little gym session, like a more like speed, power focus. And then a bit of lunch, a little team meeting, and just make sure everyone's really clear on our plans for tomorrow.
That sounds very good. How are you the night before a game? Do you get excited or are you nervous?
Night before, I'm pretty good. Maybe the morning of, a few little nerves, which not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, night before, try and not do too much. Get a nice early night, cook a nice meal. And then, yeah, normally the day of or the morning, if I feel a little bit jittery, that's normally a good sign.
Yeah, I always think if you're not nervous, there's usually something wrong. I think a few nerves
really build it
up.
Completely. Yeah, completely. I get worried if I don't get nervous.
Yeah, yeah. How do you manage your nerves? You know, if like it's too much, because sometimes it can affect your performance, right? So how do you like stay on top of that and manage it? Do you do anything to kind of keep them under control? Or is it all in the practice in the week?
I guess you've got to trust that, like, hopefully I know that I've done everything this week to put me in the best position tomorrow and walk off knowing that I've done everything I can. So I guess it's an element of trust, knowing that you've done everything you can. The second part, yeah, if I get too nervous, it's really not good for me. But I think when you're a little bit on edge, a little bit anxious, a little bit, I guess you're just superb, like, you're high sensitive, so you're really aware of what you're feeling and thinking. And for me, I think I play so much better because I'm constantly thinking, rather than if I'm a little bit too blasé, maybe a little bit too relaxed, it's not always good for me. But I've started taking cold showers in the morning sometimes on a game day, just to get that feeling of like I'm awake. I used to do it quite a bit when I'd get nervous to bat, and I'd find I'd have quite a similar like physiological response when I got to bat. Like I'd be quite jittery, my movements are really fast, my heart is absolutely racing, like you would if you got into cold water, you jumped in the sea, jumped in the cold shower. So I did that a little bit last year actually, and I found that was quite helpful. But this year, I actually haven't done it this year so far.
I really like that. I think a cold shower is so good for, I mean, obviously there's loads of research in it, right? But for me, it's just very much like it brings you very much back down to the moment, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah, you literally can't think about anything else apart from,
yeah, literally.
Yeah. All you can think about is how cold the water is, or, yeah.
Yeah. So we found ourselves. No, go on.
I was going to say, a lot of my teammates are actually really into that sort of stuff. A lot of like cold water therapy, we talk about it quite a bit. I know quite a few players that are, yeah, really into it, or people that have even gone and bought their own like cold water plunge.
Yeah, I think, yeah, loads of people are doing the cold water plunges now. And I really want to get into it. And I was speaking to someone I interviewed the other day who does it every single day. And I said, do you ever get used to it?
Really?
He goes, nope. But I force myself to do it every day because I know the benefits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, the studies for like longevity are brilliant as well.
I know, it's so good for the health and the mind, obviously. But we find ourselves now at the beginning of the summer, which is incredibly exciting for both men and women cricket in England specifically, though, because obviously it's an Ashes summer, which is very exciting. Now, I want to hear your predictions for both the men's game and the women's game. Because obviously you will have shown a keen interest. I'm not going to hold you to it, but go on. Let's hear your thoughts.
Predictions. Do you know, I'm actually really... Well, I think the men's Ashes is going to be unbelievable. I'm not sure on results. I think obviously we've got an advantage of being a home Ashes. But I think the style of cricket is going to be unbelievable. Like, it's going to be entertaining. And I think hopefully the attitude that obviously England men are having now is, even if, you know, a game's lost or a test is lost, I think the style will be brilliant. The women's Ashes, I think, will be really, really interesting. Obviously, a few new faces about this year, a few youngsters. And I think if we can get one up on the Aussies quite early, I think that test match will be brilliant. I believe it could be a 4-day test match now. I don't know if that's definite. But I've heard rumours it's now maybe going to be a 4-day test match, which is brilliant. I think regardless, it's going to be really exciting. A few new faces about. Hopefully I can go down and watch a little bit of it.
So I read that it's going to be 5 days, and the first 5-day test match on home soil and their first visit for the women back to Trent Bridge since 2000.
5 days.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry, 5 days.
Very exciting. And obviously,
which is brilliant.
I mean, all of these things, I mean, it's just, you know, it's pretty historic relentlessly now in terms of the women's game, in terms of what's happening, you know, with all the growth of franchises around the world, and the more test cricket that's being played, the more money that's being put into the women's game. That, I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing that it's now coming up to, quite literally, we look at the 100, that they're now on a par. You know, it's completely level playing field, which is super exciting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, you look the growth of women's game the last 5 years, the last 3 years, with domestic contracts coming in and all these franchises. I think that was a stat. I think behind women's football, I think female cricket is one of the highest paying salaries in women's sport,
wow.
Which is brilliant for the sport. And it's brilliant for, you know, inspiring young players who actually can, yeah, sort of see their role models and have an ambition to play professional sport.
My question to you is the growth of these franchises developing the sport or hindering it from a kind of a true sporting perspective? Because we look at cricket and you look at the true form of cricket that people love to talk about, test cricket. But is the growth of the kind of franchise, the franchises around the world, is that kind of hindering the game or is that helping develop it? What do you think?
It depends if you're a traditionalist or not, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the start. Obviously, they're playing now, and Test cricket is, I think it's pretty exciting. It's pretty fun to watch. I guess maybe that's a new generation thing, potentially. In terms of women's sport, I guess because we've never had longer format or more traditional cricket, this is probably our only style of cricket. Yeah, I think if they introduced longer format for the women's game, it would be brilliant. Maybe not loads of it, but definitely some sort of league. If they introduce it in England, I think... Again, that's you're just attracting a different crowd. Are you hindering it? Potentially, there's talks of like just franchise, 1 year franchise contracts going. And obviously, I know particularly in the women's game, a lot of international players have retired from international cricket and are just playing franchise cricket, which again is a different topic, a different subject overall. I don't know, but I think the awareness and the coverage for women's sport is definitely not a bad thing at all.
One thing I need to ask you is, and I know that obviously it's difficult, so don't answer it if you don't need to answer it, but we're looking at the 100 specifically. And I think from my understanding of the 100 is there was definitely hope that potentially other countries might pick it up as a format and therefore it would develop around the world. But with all the franchises, with T20, even T10, England is still very much the only place that is playing the 100. Is there a future for the 100, or do we need to re-evaluate what that format looks like?
I think I quite like that it's the only country that has this pretty unique sport, or I guess unique style of cricket. It's obviously branded completely different. It's still very similar T20 cricket. I think if I'm being honest, the T20 Blast is maybe a little bit outdated. You look at other countries, Big Bash, IPL, the CPL. For me, they're potentially more exciting T20 comps. From a women's game point of view, like it's brilliant for us. I think that's what the women's game really needs, and I don't think we can do that without the men's, and sort of vice versa as well in terms of like crowds, numbers, TV coverage. I think again, it's unique in the point of. You've got a men's and women's franchise team now. So you don't just buy your ticket for one game. You're buying all in for your whole franchise and you're watching both teams. I think definitely short term, 3 to 5 years, definitely. Longer, I'm not too sure, to be honest. I guess it depends on reviews, how many tickets we sell, revenue, things like that. From a cricket perspective, though, I think for the women's game, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one thing that we need to talk about is travel as a professional cricketer, because, I mean, even right now, like you spend time away with away matches, but then also, you know, the opportunities with these franchises opening up around the world. I mean, travel can have quite a tiring effect on you as an individual, missing family, missing your friends, missing your partner, you know, missing like your life at home. What's your kind of experience been with that? Do you get homesick and does that affect you mentally, or are you quite good at staying in touch and keeping grounded and rallying around as a team?
I think it's a tricky one. I think if your cricket's going well, being away is the best thing ever. You're with your mates, you're playing well. If you're abroad, you're in usually a hot country. You're normally doing pretty like new experiences, experience different culture. If you're not playing well, that's when it can get pretty tough. And I've lived through both those experiences, really. On the one hand, yeah, you're away, you're on cloud nine, playing well, your team's winning. There's not a lot that can go wrong. If you're not playing well, family, or I tend to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like distance myself from teammates, yeah, family, friends. So yeah, it can be draining, and I guess if you're away for a long period of time, it can get much harder. I guess for me, it's keeping in touch with family and I guess talking to your teammates when it is a little bit rough. But I think that's always the way. It's always much easier when you're winning.
When you're
losing, it can be quick.
Is there anything that you take with you that's kind of like your home piece, your home away from home kind of item, or something that you take, like tea bags or a teddy? I don't know. Like, what is it?
If I go away, like abroad, I'll take some little herbal tea bags with me. And then if we're just like, we've just got back from, where did we go? I went to Cardiff and Nottingham last weekend. So I just took my pillow with me just so I can sleep on the bus. And then if you're staying in a hotel room, like you want to have your own pillow, and yeah, it sort of feels a little bit homely.
There's literally nothing better than your own pillow. It's so true. Like,
yeah,
when you stay
exactly
at a hotel and it's just like you got this rock hard thing, or it's like as thin
as like
a piece
cardboard.
Of cardboard. Oh,
yeah,
horrible.
Definitely.
No,
so
I
yeah, they're
probably
the
understand.
Two things.
No, absolutely. I mean, are you quite good at staying in touch then? Because I know it's difficult. Let's say things are not going well. I mean, you were saying there that you distance yourself. Do you find it difficult to reach out? And on the other hand as well, do you think that you wear it obviously in front of your housemates? Like you kind of are a recluse and you go inside yourself slightly? Do you think it's quite obvious to others?
Yeah, I'd say generally I'm pretty extroverted and I like to be around people. Definitely like my own time when it's needed, but generally 80% I like to be around people. So it's probably noticeable from that point of view if I'm, pretty quiet and I want to spend a lot of time by myself. I guess, when you're around family as well, if you're away and there's a time zone, like I find sometimes that it's really hard just to factor in a bit of time to speak to family. Obviously, the occasional message here and there, but it's actually quite hard to speak if you're obviously different ends of the world. But I think it probably is a little bit noticeable around teammates, and that's when you've just got to get out your room, basically. Get out the hotel room, do something or speak with somebody or go for a coffee. Or like we literally stayed on the M1 in a hotel on the M1 last weekend. So there wasn't a lot going on. Some girls did a bit of shopping. A few of us got an Uber into Nottingham. So there's a bit of normality there. You're not just stuck in a hotel room in sort of the middle of nowhere, really.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think sometimes when I have spoken to a couple of the guys, especially when they did COVID bubbles, it's like, how do you get away from cricket? How do you switch off? Is there anything that you do specifically kind of to switch off? You say that you're kind of a people person. You like to hang around your teammates and chat to your family and friends. But is there anything that you do as well to kind of look after your mental health? Like, do you do any breathing exercises? You talk about the cold water showers, which is cool. Is there anything else that you do?
Do you know, I've got like a love-hate relationship with meditation. Like, I know it's really good for me. I just find it really hard to get into a routine. And especially if it's not like a familiar environment, I find that really hard just to just be really strict myself and just do it. So again, I know that's really good for me, but I wish I did it a bit more. I try to, but getting the routine is quite hard. Switching up, I think, is again one of those things. When you're winning, you don't feel like you need to think about the game. You just kind of park your past performance and get ready for the next game. I guess when you're losing, and I guess the situation we're in now, we've lost two games on the bounce, and our third game has rained off. So you overthink everything, or I definitely have the last few days. Overthink your own performance, what you could have done better, how as a team we can be better. And it can be draining at times. In downtime, what do? Me and my housemate have a rule, so we obviously train together, play together, and we just have like a no cricket chat time. And it's like, right, we cannot talk about cricket. I'm done. I'm gonna park the last game or park the session. Like, we'll put our phones off, turn our phones off, and just not talk about cricket. We'll speak about anything. So yeah, we tend to do that sometimes. I do a little bit of watercoloring every now and then, which is quite nice.
Oh, very nice.
For me, like, that's my sort of mindfulness. It's the only time where I'm pretty still. I can sit still, be quiet, and switch off for a couple hours, and yeah, put some music on and just kind of try and. I mean, they're not very good, but I quite enjoy it.
Well, I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, isn't it? If it works for you, then it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about them,
yeah,
or whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's really nice. And either way, I'm sure Mum will put one on the fridge.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. Have you ever struggled from fitting in? I know I have, particularly at school. I found it difficult to find out who I was on that journey of self-discovery. I started to see a therapist, and not only did I go on a journey of self-awareness and understanding, I became more resilient, my self-worth grew, and my mental health changed for the better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try, because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/headstrong. That's betterhelp.com/headstrong.
Something I did want to mention and discuss with you is kind of cricket as, because I was actually talking about, I was listening to a podcast, sorry, earlier, where cricket is actually the second biggest sport in the world, which is crazy to think of when places like America don't even necessarily play it to the extent that it could well be played, like baseball or basketball or American football.
Yeah.
But as a space for inclusivity, cricket has got that enormous opportunity to bring people together. And we look at the IPL in terms of what that looks like. But then also the way that it's kind of been portrayed in the media with the likes of the scandals that have been taking place in the UK could potentially be having a negative effect in the UK on the game of cricket. What do you think about that?
It's a bit of a tricky one. Yeah, if you're looking at inclusivity, I think, well, number one, team sports are always the best sports, obviously. I think there's a lot of charities like Chance to Shine, which was the charity that got me involved in cricket. Mm. I know there's All Stars. There's all sorts of little, like, junior cricket club setups. Which I think from a young age, like for me, when I got into cricket, it was purely a way to make friends when I moved to a new school. That was the only reason I joined, because I didn't have any friends, basically. Got pumped into an after school club, Chance to Shine. And for me, that was a bit of a release and, yeah, a chance to meet new people. So I guess you look at inclusivity from a young age and developing skills, teamwork, actually refined skills as well, like batting and bowling and actually, yeah, working the team and maybe a bit of leadership as well. I think brilliant. Obviously, yeah, there have been a few scandals, and I guess scandals all over the world. There's also things like match fixing, which obviously take place, which is not just in cricket and kind of all sports. And I guess that's one of the sort of negatives to sport, and I guess elite sport. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but I know it does happen.
I guess that's never going to change. It's always going to be a part of something for as long as kind of sport, as you say, exists. Now, let's look at kind of you getting into cricket and talking about that, because I know that you spent some of your formative years growing up in Spain. Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Barcelona.
Oh, I was just in Barcelona. I loved it. But have you ever played cricket?
No, no.
Did you, like, for example, play cricket in Barcelona? You know, like, is it even a thing?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Spain have a like a national team,
No
in
way.
like a European cricket league, I'm sure. But no, I never played as a kid. Yeah, I think you should look it up. I'm not sure what the standard's like, but they've definitely, I'm sure they've got a team. But yeah, no, didn't play cricket until I moved to the UK. We did a lot of like tennis at school, swimming, football, like sort of classic PE sports, I guess.
Are you a left-handed tennis player as well?
I am a left-hand, not a very good one, but yeah, I prefer
Yeah,
left-handed.
but I always think that that's such a good, it's such a good, like, an additional benefit to a sport. Everyone's like, wait, what, another left-hander? No, you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think I'd be where I was today if I wasn't left-handed. Let's put it that way. Yeah, definitely got a few advantages. Yeah, sure.
So when you got into cricket then, so you moved to England and you kind of wanted to make some friends. Was that a personal choice? Was that coming from someone telling you needed to go make some new amigos, or was this kind of you being somewhat headstrong, being like, I'm going to do this for myself?
I think it was a case of, so I think Chapter Shine came to the primary school I was at and it was part of a PE lesson. And I think I picked it up okay, like I enjoyed it. And then I'm sure they said, look, we're doing after school clubs. Why don't you come join? And I think someone in my class said, oh, you're going to do the after school club. And I thought, yeah, why not? I'll give it a go. And I think as a kid, I've always been. Yeah, I've always liked being around people and always, I feel like as a kid I made friends quite easily. And always a little bit curious and yeah, just sort of want to see what it's about. And yeah, joined their school club and really enjoyed it. And they put me in touch with a local girls club. And then I just didn't, yeah, from there it kind of just, I just kept going, kept playing, got involved at county level at Sussex and then just worked my way up the pathway really.
Can you remember that first phone call where you were told, right, this is your opportunity as a profession, you know? Do you remember that moment? And I imagine that elation and that feeling of joy.
Yeah, it was actually like the peak of lockdown, peak of COVID. It was summer 2020. They'd released professional contracts. So nobody even thought there'd be cricket that year. So I was still at university. Literally, I was handing in my, like, finishing my dissertation. I was still at uni in lockdown with my housemates. I had no idea what was going to happen. And pretty much the same week that I submitted my dissertation and had finished and pretty much graduated. Yeah, I got a phone call from, sorry, that's my hearing. My home domestic team offering me a professional contract. And honestly, I was absolutely gobsmacked. It was pure surprise me because it was this brand new thing. They were introducing contracts. There was rumors there might be contracts, but I don't think anyone thought it would happen that quickly, really, especially in the middle of a pandemic when your obviously budgets were tight. And no, given out, yeah, nobody really knew where these contracts came from. So yeah, a lot of surprise, but yeah, just pure elation and I guess relief as well, playing a sport such a long time and looking to play professionally. Obviously at that point as well, like a lot of postgraduates, it was the question of, well, am I going to work full time? Like, how am I going to manage training full time plus a job? I'm going to have to move back home and all those really like uncertain questions that you know, a lot of postgraduates have. So definitely, yeah, definitely a massive sense of relief for me.
Well, did you have that a real sense of anxiety then prior to the being awarded that contract because of that uncertainty?
Yeah, definitely. It was, well, for me, I just thought I'm gonna have to work full time here. I'm gonna have to earn money somehow. I'm gonna have to move back home. I might have to coach and then train by myself or there was a lot of, I thought I was going to maybe have to do a master's just so I could prolong the adulting for a little bit more. Definitely, yeah, a lot of questions going around what I was going to do really. Yeah, well, previously to play professional cricket, you had to play for England. So yeah, the contract they brought in, there's obviously a few more contracts now, has definitely taken the pressure off a lot of players sort of, yeah, from my age of finishing university. But for players now who've just finished like college that can go straight into full-time cricket, a full-time job. And yeah, the pressures that it takes off, certainly financially, is massive.
You've had some pretty incredible moments, and I particularly think about playing at Lords in front of a huge crowd. What? How do you manage and cope with that? Because I always think that actually performing in front of such huge crowds is actually, it happens very few and far between for a very select amount of people. So how do you kind of manage though that kind of atmosphere and nerves for a day like that? Because it's all very well and good going into a match, but then knowing that there are 20,000 people is absurd.
Yeah. Do you know, no one ever tells you how you deal with it either. No one really gives you much advice. To be honest, it sounds cliche, but once you're like in the game, you can hardly notice it or matter. Like I think it motivates me a bit more, and I quite like having a crowd because the crowd are into it. Like everyone's excited for the game. There's a little bit of pressure. Like it makes me a bit more nervous, which I think makes me play better. But I think like when you're in the heat and you're in the battle, like it's all sort of background noise. I honestly think like you just zone into what you're trying to do. And it can be quite funny at times, It can be quite funny at times when, you know, you can hear certain funny things or funny comments in the crowd. And it sort of lightens the mood a little bit. But no one, I guess, really told me or my teammates how you deal with it. I think you've just got to really embrace it and sort of look around and think, wow, like you're actually playing at a sold out ground. Or certainly for me, like I remember watching the England women win the World Cup there in 2017. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm actually playing at Lords. Like that's a massive pinch me moment. That you're playing at a brilliant stadium and a sold out ground.
You're only 24 as well. So obviously you've got so much left in your cricketing career and then everything else thereafter as well. What are those goals for you in your cricketing career? What kind of are those things that are on the horizon that you feel like you want to achieve?
Definitely would love to play a bit more franchise cricket and play a bit more abroad. It's a lot of fun. You get to play with some world-class players. And you get to avoid the English winter, which is pretty good fun. I guess right now, my domestic team, like, would love to qualify for finals days, hopefully pick up some silver in the next 12 months to 2 years. But yeah, right now, very much, I know if I think about too many things in the future, then I'll get caught up in that. So it's very much, it sounds, again, a bit cliche, but take each game as it comes. Like, how can you win the game today? How can you win that moment in the match? And I think, yeah, if collectively we do well domestically, I think it will hopefully lead to those other opportunities down the line.
No, I think you make a really good point. I think it's really important. Whilst you can get carried away and have all these goals, actually, you've got to focus on very much the present and near future and take each hurdle as it comes. Because as much as we can be ambitious and think, yes, so in 3 years' time, I want this, we need to make sure that we can... Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely easier said than done. I'm so guilty of doing that all the time. Like, I've got myself into such a state thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to play in this tournament, or I'm not going to bowl on the 100, or I'm not going to do X, Y, Z. And it's like, Tara, it's January. Like, don't worry, you're training indoors. This is irrelevant now. Or it's April, May time now. Like, it's, these things are 3-4 months ahead of you. You can't control any of that right now. All you can control is what you're doing now. But I'm definitely guilty of that, for sure.
So one question that I ask everyone, Tara, is what does the word headstrong mean to you?
It's funny, actually, when I talk to my mom on the phone or any sort of birthday card she writes me, she always says, keep strong in your body, mind and spirit. She always says that. It's like she signs it off like that. I don't know why. So it kind of reminds me of that. Like, just, I think keeping strong and keeping like almost like healthy in your mind. And I really think like if you're looking after your mind, your well-being, the physical stuff and everything else will take place. You're a human being first. You're not an athlete first. So looking after your mind and really just taking care of yourself and, again, yeah, not worrying about performance side or if it's your career, whether it's sport or not. But yeah, taking a bit of time out and not even like a mental toughness or resilience point of view, more just like your actual health, feeling mentally fit, feeling like your mental well-being strong, you've got good connections around people. For me, yeah, that's headstrong.
No, I really like that answer. I think you're absolutely right. I really like it when people, you know, professional sports people say, I'm a person before I'm the athlete, because actually you'd rather be judged on yourself as a person than your performance on the pitch. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I really think when people retire, you've off the pitch as well. And I think you always carry that reputation around you. You could be the most successful player in the world and win all these medals and trophies, but as long as you've got to be happy with who you are and sort of the person that you show to people, I think.
No, I love that. Tara, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And I wish you the best of luck for this season. And I hope that
Thank you very much.
You have so much huge success and you take some serious in-swinging Yorker wickets.
I'll try my best. Thank you.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. Have you ever struggled from fitting in? I know I have, particularly at school. I found it difficult to find out who I was on that journey of self-discovery. I started to see a therapist, and not only did I go on a journey of self-awareness and understanding, I became more resilient, my self-worth grew, and my mental health changed for the better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try, because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/headstrong. That's better, HELP.com/headstrong.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.